Hi out there, everybody. Thanks once again for choosing Then and Now, the podcast. I'm your host, John Shomo, about to embark on the 24th episode of our little weekly get-together here. I can't believe it's almost been half a year already. Thanks to all of you who have given feedback and supported the podcast. Much appreciated here. Hope you keep listening. We're going to unveil a couple of little tweaks here in the days and weeks to come. Hopefully, we've got a setup for our first interview for next week's podcast. We'll let that mystery guest be a mystery until we record it. Okay, starting off with the facts and anniversaries and birthdays for the week of August 7th through the 13th. It was August 7th, 1964, that Congress approved something that probably a lot of them regretted voting for. At the time, the Tonkin Gulf Resolution. A couple of American ships had been purportedly attacked by North Vietnamese torpedoes off the coast of North Vietnam in international waters in early August of 1964. Congress hurriedly passed, with only two no votes, by the way, passed unanimously in the House, only two no votes in the Senate, a resolution that gave President Lyndon Johnson virtual carte blanche power to do almost anything he wanted to, short of declaring war, in terms of fighting in Vietnam. He was very pleased. Many of the members of Congress years later regretted voting for that resolution, but it was one of the reasons America got mired into the Vietnam War. On a happier note, August 7th, 2016, Jim Furyk, one-time U.S. Open champ, shot a 58 at the Travelers in Connecticut. That's the lowest score ever recorded in a PGA Tour round of golf, by the way. A couple of birthdays. Charlize Theron, the actress, will be 49 on August 7th. Sidney Crosby, three-time Stanley Cup champion, captain of the Pittsburgh Penguins, one of the great players of all time. Sidney Crosby will be 37. And quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles from the University of Alabama and so forth, Jalen Hurts, will be 26, preparing for another season at the helm of the Philly Eagles. August 8th, a momentous day, certainly for Richard Nixon. On a good note for him, on August 8th, 1968, he was officially nominated by the Republican Party as their presidential candidate. 6 years later to that day, on the evening of August 8th, 1974, President Nixon addressed us from the Oval Office and announced that he would resign the presidency, as he put it, at noon tomorrow, and that Vice President Gerald Ford would become the president at noon on August 9th in the East Room of the White House, actually. A very momentous day on both counts for Mr. Nixon. On August 8th, 1969, maybe the most famous cover photograph in rock music history was taken at a crosswalk in London. I think you know what that is, the four guys walking across the crosswalk. The cover of the album Abbey Road. People flock there to get their picture taken in the crosswalk. Still, the Dream Team, the U.S. men's basketball team, the first time we sent professionals in 1992. That team is legendary. They won the gold medal at Barcelona on August 8, 1992, with a 117-85 win over Croatia. That was Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and a host of other all-time greats. The wonderful Dream Team. Dustin Hoffman, the actor, will be 87. That makes me feel old, on August 8th. And Roger Federer, many, many, many times major champion in tennis, will be 43. August 9th, in addition to Mr. Nixon's resignation in 1974, 50 years ago, the United States dropped the second atomic bomb, this time on the city of Nagasaki, Japan, August 9th, 1945. That bomb was called Fat Man. The first one, 3 days earlier, was called Little Boy. The Japanese would hastily re-examine their position in the war, let's say, after that. The great album by the Beatles, Revolver, their U.S. version, was released on August 9th, 1966. As I've said before, the U.K. version is a little better. John Candelaria, Pittsburgh Pirates left-hander, the big, tall, lanky lefty for the Pirates. No hit the Los Angeles Dodgers at Three River Stadium on August 9th, 1976. It was the first no-hitter pitched in Pittsburgh by a Pirate since about 1909 or so. Bob Cousy, six-time NBA champion, the point guard who kind of invented the position in professional basketball, from Holy Cross and the Boston Celtics, Bob Cousy, 96 years old on August 9th. The owner of the Celtics took the trophy over to Bob's house last week and let him have pictures with it. So that's awesome, really. John Cappelletti will be 72 on August 9th. If you're an old college football fan like me, you remember he was the 1973 Heisman Trophy winner, running back from Penn State. The only Heisman won by a Penn State player, by the way. And John Cappelletti's acceptance speech in New York was a tearjerker. He talked about his brother who was very ill and who passed away not very long after the ceremony. That's a very memorable one there. Actress Melanie Griffith will be 67 on August 9th. Whitney Houston was born August 9th, 1963. And boy, what a shame she passed way too early. Her version of the national anthem at Super Bowl 25, just at the start of the what they call the Gulf War back then, is one of the most memorable versions of the national anthem ever at the Super Bowl, for sure. And Deion Sanders, the head football coach now at the University of Colorado, All-American at Florida State, had a very strong pro career, Pro Football Hall of Famer, as a matter of fact. Deion Sanders will be 57 on August 9th. There's some stuff coming out about the Colorado football program that might not be too kind for him, by the way. Okay, August 10th, Missouri became the 24th state on August 10th, 1821. Chicago, Illinois was incorporated as a village of 300 people on August 10th, 1833. There's a few more people than that in Chicago now. Franklin Roosevelt, while on vacation at Campobello in Canada, was stricken by polio on August 10th, 1921. Lived with it, as most of you know, the rest of his life until he died in 1945. Was basically president from a wheelchair. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, sworn into the United States Supreme Court, Bill Clinton's first pick for the court. She was sworn in on August 10, 1993. Unfortunately, she passed away just before the 2020 election. Herbert Hoover, our 31st president, born on August 10, 1874. Rocky Colavito, hero to many Indians fans of the 50s and 60s. They traded him to Detroit. Thanks a lot, Trader Lane. He went back to the Indians toward the end of his career. But Rocky Colavito's 91. He'll be 91 on August 10th. Don't knock the rock. Gino Toretta, 1992 Heisman Trophy winner from the University of Miami in Florida, will be 54. And Kylie Jenner will be 27 on August 10th. We move to August 11th. The Acme Packers professional football team in Green Bay, Wisconsin, was founded by a guy by the name of Curly Lambeau. Perhaps you remember that last name, might ring a bell. The Packers were founded by Curly Lambeau on August 11th, 1919. The first ever color telecast of a Major League Baseball game was broadcast by station WCBS in New York on August 11th, 1951. The Boston Braves, they were still in Boston then, defeated the Brooklyn Dodgers, they were in Brooklyn then, 8-1. 4 years ago, on August 11th, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden at the virtual convention announced California Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate. Eric Carmen, the musician from the Raspberries, a Cleveland guy, lead singer of that group. Perhaps those of us of a certain age remember the song Go All the Way. It's a great one. Eric Carmen just passed away earlier this year, born on August 11th, 1949. As was Sandra Scheuer, a Kent State University student who was walking from one class to her dorm and was shot dead when the National Guard opened fire on a parking lot, basically, at Kent State on May 4th, 1970. Sandy Scheuer was just 20 years old when she was killed. Bob Mothersbaugh of the group Devo will be 72 on August 11th. He was born in Akron, Ohio. And Chris Hemsworth will be 41 on August 11th. Moving to the 12th, Thomas Edison's first sound recording happened on August 12, 1877. The United States annexed, took over, Hawaii on August 12, 1898. Henry Ford built the first Model T on August 12, 1908. The last tour of North America by the Beatles began at the Chicago Amphitheater with two shows, morning or afternoon and evening show, on August 12, 1966. The amphitheater is no longer standing in Chicago, by the way. Kind of tied to that, this is a great story. A Texas radio station that same day, August 12, 1966, announced and held a Beatles bonfire, quote unquote, to protest John Lennon's interview comment where he said that the group had been, quote, more popular than Jesus, unquote. A lot of people flipped out over that. He defended it, you know, as best he could. This radio station, though, you know, down and deep in the heart of Texas there, they held a bonfire. They urged young people to bring their Beatles albums and paraphernalia, and they would burn them all. Well, it kind of sounds like, you know, Germany in the 1930s. They did it, held the bonfire, and the next day, that radio station was struck by lightning. I think that's rather apt, personally. Okay. One other birthday for August 12th, the great Christy Mathewson, one of the great pitchers in Major League Baseball history for the New York Giants in the 19-aughts and 10s. Christy Mathewson, born August 12th, 1880. He served in World War I and was gassed and died in 1925. He died a gradual death, probably a very painful one, unfortunately. August 13th, construction on the Berlin Wall by the Soviet Union, in parentheses, East Germany, began on August 13th, 1961. The wall would stand until fall of 1989. The Athens Olympic Games opened on August 13th, 2004. Some birthdays for August 13th. Annie Oakley, the famous Western figure, born August 13th, 1860, in Ohio, I believe. Film director Alfred Hitchcock from Great Britain, born August 13th, 1899. 9 times major golf champion, the great Ben Hogan, born August 13, 1912. Fidel Castro, the one longtime leader of communist Cuba, born August 13, 1926. Jim Mudcat Grant, a favorite around these parts. He pitched for the Indians, among other teams. He was on the Pirates in 1971. He didn't stick around for the World Series. They traded him in August. Jim Mudcat Grant, after he retired, became the color man for Channel 8's broadcast of Cleveland Indians games. And those of you that are as old as I am, you remember Harry Jones and Mudcat Grant bringing you Cleveland Indians baseball on Channel 8. And Mud was born in La Cuche, Florida, on August 13, 1935. The late, great Mudcat Grant. Last birthday for this go-round here, 6 times major golf champion, the great Betsy King, 69 years old, on August 13th. Okay, gosh, there's been so much happening. I said that last week too, but things are escalating quickly here in the real world that we live in. Let's start with the vice presidential pick for Vice President Harris in her campaign for the presidency. His name is Tim Walz. He's the governor of Minnesota. And boy, you know, 3 or 4 days ago, I didn't know very much about this guy, but wow. He was a high school social studies teacher for 20 years. That puts him way up there in my book. He was a football coach. He took Mankato West High School after they had gone 0-27. He took them to the Minnesota State Championship. So he coached a state championship team. All right. I've been told throughout the day today, as I record this on Tuesday night, that he kind of physically resembles your host here. I have to admit there is a somewhat of a resemblance. We are guys in our 60s that are balding and have gray hair where we still have hair and wear glasses and probably tells corny jokes like I do. He's a social studies teacher, so he's got to tell corny jokes, right? But that's refreshing as far as I'm concerned. He was... Grew up on a farm in Nebraska, moved to Minnesota, served in the National Army National Guard for 24 years, was a 6-term member of the U.S. House of Representatives from his district in Minnesota. He was elected governor in 2008, reelected in the election of November 2022. Gosh, I watched him speak here an hour or so ago at a rally in Philadelphia, and he's a social studies teacher and a coach. He's that guy. A lot of public speaking experience. It's not formal, but it's really effective, I think. The best thing I heard about him today was somebody asked him, gosh, you look a little older than you are. Well, I kind of took offense to that, but Governor Walz said, well, if you'd had to do 20 years of lunch duty in a high school like I did, you'd look like this too. I thought that was the best response he could have possibly given. And yes, I have friends that reminded me throughout the day, Mr. Carnath, Mr. Epstein, Mr. Shadawa, that they indeed have done lunch duty for a long time. And I, of course, had not, which is also true. 20 years of lunch duty, I'll take that experience over law school any day in a candidate. You can survive 20 years of lunch duty without being crazy. You've really done something. My son Matt says that I may need some Secret Service protection as I go walking around now because I look a lot like Governor Walz. Well, if that's the case, then we'll have to make a phone call. The Upper Midwest, I do want to point this out on a more serious note. The Upper Midwest, Minnesota included, has a history of producing progressive political leaders. It dates back to a guy named Robert La Follette, if you remember from American history, who was the governor of Wisconsin nearby for a long time. Minnesota has been home to a couple of vice presidents in my lifetime. Hubert H. Humphrey was the vice president for Lyndon Johnson in the mid-1960s. He was mayor of Minneapolis and senator from Minnesota for a long time. And later, Walter Mondale, longtime senator from Minnesota, a student really of Humphrey's, was vice president for Jimmy Carter in the late 1970s into 1980. So will Tim Walz be the third vice president of my lifetime from this great state of Minnesota? We shall see in 90 days or so. Okay, so that's we'll know a lot about that as the days and weeks go on. But we are, as I said, just 90 days or so out from Election Day. Okay, the stock market. I wanted to mention that here and just tell people to calm down a little bit. Monday, the Japanese stock market had a really bad fall. That was reverberating around the world on Monday as the Dow Jones Industrials, for instance, lost almost 1,000 points. They went from 39,000 something to 38,000 something, which is only a couple percentage points. So everybody needs to relax, relax. The Dow was about 31,000 when President Biden took office. So even if it lost 1,000 points yesterday, it's still well above where it was in January of 2021. And guess what? Today it did go back up 200 or 300 points. Everybody relax. It's a long game. I want to emphasize that. If you don't want to get into the stock market if you're in there for a quick hit and a quick, profit on anything. It's a long game. If you wait it out, most stocks go up over time. Not all, but most. What will happen, I think, is the Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank, for those of you who remember economics class, will likely lower the interest rate when it meets again in September. That should kind of calm things down a little bit. If you need the thrill of short-term investing, go bet in a casino. Go play the slots or something. It was back up 294 points to be exact on Tuesday. So again, the stock market's not for quick hits. It's for long time. Play the long game with the stock market and you'll be okay. Okay, moving on to a couple of sports notes here. One, the Olympic Games. I've enjoyed watching. I kind of panned on a previous podcast their coverage of the opening ceremonies. I thought they could have explained a lot of those things a lot better, would have led to a lot less confusion back here in the United States, for instance. But they're giving you on NBC and Peacock lots of viewing options. All of the networks of Comcast, USA Network, and E, and all of these, they're all televising things during the day. Peacock has every event, obviously. NBC does events during the daytime and the primetime show. Does Mike Tirico ever sleep, by the way? I'm beginning to wonder. Anyway, I've seen a couple of amazing things. First of all, the men's golf last weekend was tremendous. They were really grinding to win that thing. It was held at Le Golf National near Paris, where they held the 2018 Ryder Cup, as a matter of fact, where the United States got crushed by the Europeans that year. Congratulations to Scottie Scheffler. He won the gold medal. It was very moving to see him on the medal stand. I love Tommy Fleetwood from Liverpool. Tommy won the silver medal. That's wonderful. I always root for Tommy. He was the first guy we saw practicing when we went to the US Open back in June down in Pinehurst. The first guy I saw practicing on the chipping and putting green with his caddy on Monday afternoon. So good on Tommy for that. Hideki Matsuyama won the bronze. Certainly a worthy medal winner as well. The women are playing golf this week. I watched something that I never thought I'd see yesterday as we're speaking. Sweden's Armand Duplantis, who actually is from Louisiana, pole vaulted 20 feet 6 inches to set a new world record. They're going to have to build the pole vault apparatuses higher. I don't know how, I'm not smart enough to know how you do that. But wow, that was really amazing. And the crowd was very into it as well. Love the track and field competition. It's what the Olympics really are all about, in my opinion. That's how they started centuries ago. And I just love watching the 100 and the 200 and the 1500 and the, the discus and the javelin and all of those things. That's really kind of the Olympics for me. So I really, really have enjoyed watching this week, and I'll keep watching till Sunday. The next Olympics, by the way, for those who are wondering, the next Winter Games will be held in Milan, Italy, in early 2026. That's only a year and a half from now. And the next Summer Games, as you may know, will be hosted by Los Angeles, California, as they were in 1932 and again in 1984. 2028 will be LA. So those are things we can all look forward to. All right. The fourth topic for this week will be the football program of that school up north in Ann Arbor. And I wrote down here what should happen versus what will happen. They have been notified by the NCAA of violations stemming from the, let's call it the sign stealing scandal involving Connor Stallions and Jim Harbaugh and the coaching staff and deciphering illegally, going to other teams' games and illegally scouting in person. That's really the biggest violation. Although head coach Sharon Moore may be in big trouble because he tried to delete messages from his phone when he found out the NCAA was onto it. That could really get him, bite him, you know where. What should happen? Well, I do wear scarlet and gray colored glasses. I think they should have to vacate all the wins from the time they were doing it, which would be the seasons of 2021, 22, and most of 2023. I'd like to see a two-season postseason ban, 2024 and 2025, no postseason games for them. A reduction of scholarships, and have Sharon Moore suspended, the head coach. Now, what will happen? Not that much, probably. I do think wins will be vacated, and here's why. Recently, within the last week, the University of Kentucky football program suffered some NCAA sanctions. They had 11 players who got paid for work they didn't do. What were the sanctions? They had to vacate all 10 of their wins from the 2021 season, and they got 2 years probation from the NCAA. Now, those wrongs, if you will, certainly pale in comparison to what Michigan was doing. Michigan was illegally deciphering signals that directly affected the play on the field for 2.5 seasons, most of 3 seasons. What that's led to, by the way, in college football this year, as we approach the season, is a change in communication. They're going to have communication devices in one offensive player's helmet, I'm sure it'll be the quarterback, and one defensive player's helmet at all times. Much like you'd see in the NFL, they have those helmets with the green stickers on them. Those are the guys that get the plays called in from the bench. That's going to happen in college football this year. So you won't see all those crazy dressed guys on the sideline holding up signs and flashing signals with waving madly on the sidelines and so forth. That's a change, and I think it's a change for the good. Probably should have happened a long time ago. That's a change that will happen in the college game this fall. But I'll, anxiously await what they're going to do with the Wolverines regarding that scandal. Again, I don't think it's going to be as much as probably the average Ohio State fan like me would like to see, But I do think it's going to be a substantial penalty for them, and it certainly should be. Taking those glasses off and looking at it, objectively, that's really serious stuff, and it should be dealt with. And let's hope the NCAA does the right thing. Okay, enough about them. On the three good questions segment, unfortunately, we only have one good question this week. So I'm going to make the plea once again. If you have a question that you'd like us to roll by everybody here on the podcast, email it to us at three good questions, THREE, good questions, at gmail.com. That's three good questions at gmail.com. We'd love to put your questions on the podcast and get answers for them. One thing before I do reveal this week's question, I forgot to give the correct answer from the question from episode 22 about the nine states without a major college football team in them. We never gave you the answer. So the answer to that is which nine states are without an FBS level college football program? Those states are Alaska, Maine, Delaware, only for one more year. Delaware will be an FBS team in 2025. New Hampshire, North Dakota, South Dakota, Rhode Island, Montana, and Vermont. Those are your nine states. That was the answer to that question. Okay. Our question this week is from Jeff Cole, frequent question giver. He asks, how many states have more than one word in their name? Very simply, how many states have more than one word in their name? If you get the answer to that, email it to us at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. Okay, and again, thank everybody. I keep hearing from folks about the podcast. I'm really kind of genuinely overwhelmed at the number of people who must be listening. It's exceeded my expectations when I started this little thing back in March, I think it was. So again, thank you all for choosing us. It's a crowded podcastosphere out there. You can find us as usual on Spotify. Three good questions. Not three good questions. That's the email address. It's called Then and Now with host John Shomo. So you can find us there on Spotify. Very grateful for everybody that's expressed interest. Again, looking forward here. Next week, I hope to have our first interview segment on episode 25, and we'll reveal the interviewee when he shows up here at the studio and when we publish the podcast next week. Also, I am considering some extra activities in the podcast world. I've pretty much made up my mind that I'm going to separate out all the college football stuff into a separate podcast. We'll come up with a name for that and start it here in a couple weeks with a preview show, perhaps, because that's going to dominate a lot of what I watch in the next 4 or 5 months. So if you're interested in college football, look for that. We'll make an announcement here in the next week or two about a new podcast dealing with specifically the sport of college football. Also, had a suggestion from Matt and Marina. Thank you both. That maybe I do a special podcast every once in a while on a famous historical event and take a deeper dive into that. And I'm very much seriously considering that. The two that I have in mind coming up would be September 11th and President Kennedy's assassination in November of 1963. So we'll try to formulate some things there and get a couple of special broadcasts for those things. But again, thank you all so much for listening. It makes it worthwhile to do this. I enjoy it, and I'm really glad that so many people are tuning in. Tell a friend about Then and Now. That'd be great. Again, thank you all. I'm John Shomo, your host. Hopefully, you'll join us next week for another edition of Then and Now. Thanks a lot. Have a great week, everybody.